In James chapter 5, verse 14, is one that we have to begin to look at because of the fact that there's some wording that is in James chapter 5 that can throw you off. And this is a very important phrase for us to understand in chapter 5, verse 14. So what we have to look at, we have to look at what it means to anoint. What oil was used in the first century, and then the meaning of doing these things in the name of the Lord, because these are some significant phrases. And so what we have to do is, when you begin to look at verse 14, you got to look at it in light of the first century and not the 21st century. Because if you look at it in the 21st century, you're going to miss what was going on in the first century. And so we make sure that we are defining these words in the context of the first century and not the 21st century. And so what we have to do then is that we have to put our minds, put ourselves in the minds of the readers who receive this letter. If you're going to understand this particular verse, you got to put yourself within the readers. And so James, you got to understand who James was. James was a Jewish Christian writing to Jewish Christians. That's important. He's a Jewish Christian writing to Jewish Christians. And so what he always saw things in the eyes of the Jewish eye. So you keep that in mind as we look at this. And so when he talks about, is any sick among you, you look at the word sick. The word sick means extreme illness in this particular text. Incapacitated. Someone who is without strength. Someone who to take care of themselves, and so what happened is they call for the elders. He says, any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. All right? Well, why would somebody call for the elders of the church? Because, see, back in that time, the elders was always called to the bedside of the sick. But also we have to understand is that because the elders represents the entire church. They represents the entire church. They are known as righteous men and the kind who prayers are powerful. And that's what we're going to see in verse number 16 of James, that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, is powerful and is effective. And so James says, listen, if you're sick, you call for the elders of the church. But watch this. This is what we really overlook. We look at the all, but we overlook this next phrase. Because this is an important phrase. He says, you call them to do what? Let them what? Pray. Pray over them. Now you got to look at the word over. The word over we think it is one way, but the word over, it does not have a special significance. What this means is praying on their behalf. So you call for the elders, and the elders will pray on your behalf. It's just like on Sunday, when you have people responding to the invitation. Who do we have down in front? taking their thing, the elders, right? And when somebody respond, who pray for them? The elders. All right? So that's what James is dealing with. He said, listen, if you're sick, you call for the elder. In other words, what they're going to do, they're going to pray over you. No, they're going to pray on your behalf. All right? They're going to pray for you. And let their prayers be offered in whatever situation it is. So when you go to the hospital, if somebody's sick, what are you praying? What's the situation? They're sick, right? All right? So they're sick. All right? So if somebody lost a loved one and they asked them, could you pray for, what is the situation? They're bereaved, right? So they pray, they offer prayer for whatever situation that they're in. All right? And so their intercession is made, all right, for those suffering in afflictions and in trials. And so the real emphasis is on prayer. Keep that in mind. The real emphasis is on prayer. But then he says, goes on and says, not only pray, but anoint him with oil. Again, what do you have to look at? You're looking at what? First century. All right? So, when he talks about anointing with oil, olive oil was a big part of the Jewish life. All right? It was a big part of the Jewish life. And so the idea of anointing with oil goes back to Exodus. You write that down. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 24. Exodus 30 and verse 24. When the Lord, you remember, told Moses to anoint Aaron, the priest, using olive oil. So it was that was a common thing, was the olive oil. And then not only that, later, the prophets and the kings were anointed with olive oil. And it became a symbol of power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. And so again, olive oil was a big part of the Jewish life. And that's what you have to understand. That's why I said you have to keep your mind frame set on the readers, the mind of the first century readers. All right? In Leviticus 14. When you look at Leviticus chapter 14, what it contains is that it contains the regulations for any disease a person at that time had. It was a ceremonial cleansing. Now look at Leviticus 14 and verse 15. Because it was part of the treatment involved being anointed with olive oil. In verse 15 of Leviticus 14, he says, the priest shall then take some of the log of oil, pour it on the palm of his own left hand, dip his right forefinger into the oil in his palm, and with his finger sprinkle some of it before the Lord. But then he says, the rest of it, the rest of the oil in his palm, the priest shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed and make atonement for them before the Lord. Verse 17. And so what this is the background of James' comment. James says that you call for the elders, that they, number one, they pray for them, and then they do what? Anoint him with oil. All right? And so we got to understand, but also we got to understand it was a Jewish custom. That's what you need to understand when you're talking about this particular fact. This was the Jewish custom. This was the ritual that the Jews would have, that they would do. And so it's very important. But not only was this a ritualistic, But also, this olive oil was used medically. All right? Look at verse 32 of Leviticus 14. These are the regulations for anyone who has the plague of leprosy. To this day, what is that? They had to put olive oil. That was the Jewish custom. So that's why it's important, because we look at it, well, do we put oil on that thing? Well, you can do that, but let me tell you something, the power is not in the oil. The power is in what? Prayer. We're going to see that in verse 15. But you got to understand, this was their custom. This is not our custom. This was their custom in the first century. They done that. All right? In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6. It shows how olive oil became a part of the Jewish medical life. All right? Because he says now, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and whelps and open sores not cleansed or bandaged or smoothed with olive oil. So that was the oil that was used. All right? Oil had an important purpose, y'all, in the first century that many in the 21st century don't recognize. That's why when you look at this passage, you need to make sure that you go deep enough and look at the culture. You look at the context of this scripture. Because if you don't, then what's going to happen is that you're going to really misrepresent what this text is all about. All right? And so we got to understand, this was one of the best remedies in the ancient time, was olive oil. Oil was the most common medicine in biblical times. And so we can even see this used in the New Testament. You remember the Good Samaritan? How many of y'all remember that in Luke chapter 10? You remember what happened when this Jewish man, what? He fell among thieves, right? They beat him up. They left him half dead. But watch this. The Samaritan came along, and what did the Samaritan do? Bandaged his wounds, right? But what else did the Samaritan do? Pouring on oil and wine, verse 34. And so using oil for illnesses was extremely common back then. All right? And so, but then in Luke chapter 7, another interesting thing. And so I just want to tell you, I'm just showing y'all some things about the oil, because it's very important to this particular text. In chapter 7, you remember Jesus was invited to dinner by a Pharisee. Then around about verse 46, a woman came and anointed his feet with what? Perfume. Y'all see that? And the Pharisees criticized her. And so, but Jesus said in verse 46, you did not put oil on my head. In verse 46. But she had poured perfume on my feet. And so it was custom, y'all. It was custom in hot climates to greet guests with olive oil to rub into their dry scalp and skin. This was common. All right? So, what do we have here? When James told the sick person to call for the elders and be anointed with oil, he was speaking as a Jewish Christian to who? Jewish Christians. Y'all follow me? He was speaking to Jewish Christians. within a Jewish culture, telling them to do what they have always done. This is their custom. All right? It was a ceremonial, but also it was medical. It was a natural part of the Jewish life. So what did they say? There was nothing magical about the oil. Was nothing magical. It's not the essential part of this verse. The essential part of this verse is what? There you go, prayer. And so we get all tied up with all this. That's not the essential part. That is not what James trying to get them. Listen, prayer. Because verse 15 is going to cover that. All right? But then he says, watch this. In the name of who? They are to do it in the name of the Lord. What does that mean? By his authority. By God's authority. To do something in the name of the Lord is to have its authority. Everything we do in word or deed is to be done what? In the authority of God. And so here in James chapter 5 and verse 14, the praying and anointing of oil are authorized by the Lord. That's what you see here. So when you understand this particular text, you got to look at it in light of the Jewish culture. What was transpiring within that time. James was a Jewish Christian writing to Jewish Christians, telling them to do some things that they've always known to be doing. Okay? And so then he, in verse 15, and here it is, let's go back. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall do what? So, here it is. What act? Notice the act of saving the sick. What was it? Did it say anything about oil? Huh? He says the prayer of faith. So that tells us that the prayer, and that's why he said the prayer of the righteous availeth what? Much. James does not say that it is the oil at work acting as a channel of divine power from God. But he says is what? Prayer. Prayer that will save. But it's not just the prayer. But what type of prayer? All right. It's the prayer of faith. And so what this statement does, it ties back to James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. In James chapter 1, verse 6, where we were commanded to ask in faith without doing what? Doubting. All right? Because if we doubt, James said we cannot receive anything of the Lord. So you got to pray believing. So the point becomes that we need to be covered in prayer, but not only that, we need righteous people to pray for us. So you got to have righteous people. Because guess what? Your prayer got to get up to who? And so we got to understand. When our unrighteousness has made us spiritually sick, we need somebody righteous to pray on our behalf. All right? That's why we offer invitations. But guess what? Few take it. And you know the reason sometimes that few would do that? The reason is there is a stigma that comes with asking from prayer, from even from a congregation. Well, why is that? It's sad when Christians become afraid to ask other Christians to pray for them because of the fear of judgmental attitudes by their spiritual family. People, if anybody that's going through some things need prayer, we ought to be there to encourage them, to help them. They shouldn't be afraid to ask for prayer. And then what happens is it gets spread everywhere. Christians shouldn't act like that. That's what James is talking about here. He says, listen, when you are in that condition, you need somebody to pray for you. But their prayer, they need to be prayer of faith. They need to be righteous. All right? And so again, and the prayer offered in faith is not what? The oil. I want y'all to get that. It's not the oil. All right? And he says, what happens? What happens after that? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And what's going to happen? The Lord. Y'all see that? Our job is to pray. But we got to make sure that we are righteous when we pray. God's job is to lift them up. Our job is to pray. God's job is to raise them up. All right? And that phrase, raise them up, means to rouse. It means to waken from sleep. And what it suggests is that the person we are talking about is gravely ill. The person is gravely ill, and so as such that this saving sick will by your prayer to God that he will be allowed, he'll allow him to rise up. But we got to understand it's God's will. There are some times when you see people, you know, they're almost gone, but then God brought them back. God spared their lives. But then there are some. It's God's will. It's God. So we don't question God, his will. He knows. Our job is to pray on behalf. Lord, if it's your will. And that's what we do. Because it's God's will. And so the most important thing isn't the healing of our bodies, but it's the healing of our souls from sin. Listen, your body can be healed, but if you're lost, if you're in a lost condition. And so the most important thing is the healing of your soul. Because what is a man profited? He should gain the whole world and do what? Lose his own soul. Your soul is important. If you lose your soul, you have lost everything. All right? And so then the remaining verse says, after that he says now, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed what? Sin. what's going to happen? They shall be forgiven. And so again, you know, when people respond to the invitation, when they ask for just pray for me and pray, Lord, give me the strength that I need. Guess what? The elders, they pray on behalf of whatever situation. If that person has committed sin. You know, it's not only the elder, but we all need to be praying. That's what verse 16 talks about. In verse 16, he talks about this. And so, before I get to that, faith is people acting in accordance with God's known purpose. God has a purpose. Our job is to pray. He says, now confess your faults one to another and do what? You still don't see anything about oil, do you? But you see prayer. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one for another. That what? That you are healed? He said that you may be healed. Because it's not in your power, but it's in God's power. We pray that they will be healed if it's God's will. All right? And so you confess your faults, meaning mutual honesty. Openness and sharing of needs will enable believers to uphold each other in their spiritual struggle. Effectual, fervent prayers avail much. The energetic, the passionate, the prayer of godly people have the power. You know, we talk about prayer can change a lot of things, a lot of circumstances. Prayer is powerful. And so we have to understand that. And so he says, now you confess your faults one for another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And then he said the effectual fervent prayers of a what? What type of man? It identifies what type of person you need to be. Of a righteous person availeth much. So if I'm going to pray on your behalf, I got to make sure I'm in good standing with the Lord. And you need to always make sure as a Christian that you are in good standing of the Lord, because you don't know who come to you and ask for prayer. Could you pray for me? Could you pray? I always want to be in a good standing. When somebody asks me to pray for them, I want to make sure that I'm right with God, that my prayer can get up on their behalf. So we have to think about that. All right? And so, verse 17 through 18, rest of it is just summary. Verse 17 through 18, he uses an illustration about Elijah. We all know about Elijah, don't we? Elijah prayed, and he prayed again, and what happened there in verse number 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as who? As we are. He was a human being, just like you and I. And that's what James was telling me. He's a human being like us. But watch this. He had great faith. Because what happened? What happened? He says now, and he prayed how? So he had to be righteous in the sight of the Lord. Because he prayed earnestly that it may not what? Rain. And what happened? Y'all see how powerful prayer is? When you pray, it didn't rain. All right? For how long? 3 years and 6 months. But guess what he did again? He prayed again that it rained. And what happened? And the earth brought forth her fruit. So, we see the illustration of how this operates. God always uses illustrations when he talks through his man, servant. He talks through James, and God uses illustration after illustration. Now he used the illustration to talk about what he just talked about. And that was Elijah. And then in verse 19 and verse 20, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. Now notice, this introduces the third category, all right, of people in the church. We've seen it in verse 13 and verse 14. Those professing believers who have strayed from the truth. And so he says, if you err from the truth, you do what? He says, if you err from the truth and one convert him. That word convert, err means to go astray. If you go astray, he says, he uses the word convert. Convert does not mean in this passage to save, but to restore. That word means to restore. If anyone err and restore it. All right? And restore it. He says, let him know that he which what? Converted the sinner from the what? Error of his ways. What's going to happen? Those who go astray, you're going to be, you save a soul from death. What type? Spiritual death. All right? A person who wanders from the truth, he puts his soul in jeopardy. All right? And so the death right here is not the physical death, but it is eternal death. It's eternal separation. That's why, y'all, when you mess up, when you sin, you ought to get it right with God. You don't know when you're going to leave this world. And by restoring, you save a soul from death. But not, watch this, and you hide a multitude of sins. Psalms 5 and verse 10, you can write that down. See, every one of us, we sin. Sometimes we do. There's nobody sitting in here tonight is perfect. We all messed up. But the main thing about it, you need to make sure you get it right. You get it right. And that's what James is saying. He deals with this prayer. And so it's very important that when you look at these verses, you go back and read them. And again, when you read from now, you look at it, now you see differently. Now you see James is writing to Jewish Christians because he's looking in the eyes of Jews, because he is a Jew himself, Jewish Christian. And so hopefully these verses have clarified some things, especially verse 14, that can help you in your everyday life. This time we're going to go over a prayer request. Brother Ken Gatewood, Tiffany Henson,